Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the ninth day of June 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota will be here to update crop conditions in their regions, and we'll discuss the weather forecast. To that with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers settled at the CME Group in Chicago. July contract on this Tuesday at 365 in the corn pit was down a quarter of a cent. September at 372 and a half, also a quarter lower. December down a half cent at $3.83 in the March corn, down a quarter at $3.94. Next year's July down a half at 407 and three quarters. December of 2016 finished unchanged at 407 and a quarter. Soy complex, July beans 7 and a quarter higher, 951 and a half the settlement price. August 7 and 3 quarters higher at 937. September up 5 and 3 quarters at 926 and a quarter. And November beans at $9.25, up 4 and 3 quarters. January futures 4 and a quarter higher at 931 and 3 quarters. And the March soybeans at 936, up 4 cents. Bean meal finished $7 higher at 316.50. And the bean oil down 17 cents at 33.93. Soft red winter wheat at 532 and a quarter, up 4 and a quarter in the July. The hard red up 3 3/4 at 5.48 1/4. Live cattle futures from Chicago at $1.47 1/2 on the gain side, $154.95 the settlement price for the June. Feeder cattle were up $1.35 at $224.22 1/2. Of course, these are all still on their trading as they don't close for just a bit. Now lean hogs down 35 cents at $81.20 on their last tick. You're listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In the outside markets at this hour, crude oil at $1.85 higher per barrel is at $59.98. Ethanol futures, $1.54.07, down a half of a cent for the day. And gasoline at 6 7/10 of a cent higher, trading $2.74 of a cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel up a 6 1/10 of a cent at $1.91.5 per gallon. And the natural gas for the day up 13.5 cents at $2.84. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now trading at 17,775. That's up just 7 points for the day. The U.S. dollar is down 0.148 at 95.175, and the gold at $1,177, up $3.50. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies on our way to a high of 87 degrees on a west wind at 8 miles an hour, gusting to 15, and then tonight clear, a low of 66, south-southwest winds at 6 to 9. Those winds will bring us a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow after 1 in the afternoon. Mostly sunny skies and 91, with those winds at 11 to 15 out of the southwest, gusting to 21, and then tomorrow night a 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 69. Winds will remain out of the southwest at 5 to 10, gusting to 15. On Thursday, winds will turn just a little further to the south. We'll go to a high of 89 degrees, a 30% chance of rainfall. Thursday night, the same remains, mostly cloudy and 70 degrees. And then on Friday, a 50% chance of rainfall and 86.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's Tuesday afternoon, the 9th day of June. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the trade in Chicago. Thanks, Wayne, for being with us. Was there anything of real interest today, or are we just waiting out for tomorrow's 11 o'clock release of the WASD?
Well, I think we're definitely waiting on that release of the WASD, Todd. But, you know, as I listen to you give the weather there right ahead of time, does that sound like a greenhouse to you?
It does.
It does. You know, it sounds good for everybody except those poor guys in Missouri and in Kansas that got 60% of their beans yet to plant. And other than that, I think it sounds like ideal growing conditions across the Midwest and what's going on. So, you know, we're fighting that with the idea that we might see some differential things in the report tomorrow. Of course, we're looking for maybe a little less carry out on the beans because of the good meals, the crush, and some of our exports holding up in there. We're looking at maybe the corn being, the carry out being growing a little bit because of the bird flu, and the feed usage might be going down a little bit. But other than that, we're watching to see if they get planted in Missouri, Kansas, and what the crop ratings do come Monday and along the way. And the big thing is how many prevent plant acres. We're going to see more at the end of the month on that report, because I don't think those numbers will be added in or subtracted in the report tomorrow.
All right. So I do have a quick question. When you look at the Corn Belt as a whole and maybe include the Delta region, do you think the yield potential for the corn crop is going up or going down based on this last set of rainfall that came through at the moment?
I think actually going up, because we saw a lot of areas that were they were verging on dryness there, and we watched the corn really pop in our area. I think that as we traveled north of Chicago, we saw that really did help them. That rain did too, and we too is talking around the country that it did. You know, the areas that have been overly wet, they maybe didn't get all the corn planted we thought we did. The question that's going to help or is going to really factor in is how many acres of corn did we get planted before those rains come along.
So we have been going through a time when people have turned the corner from being very bearish to at least being friendly to the corn and the soybean markets. Is it time to take stock of that if you've got old crop corn in particular and make some sales?
You know, well, we looked at something today in an option strategy, Todd. Buying September puts, basically a 370. We closed, just a few cents above that, and selling two $4 calls above that, and can do that for a little bit of credit, and that would give you just a floor below the market for 3 weeks here, or through pollination, give you through the third week in, because you do these in the August futures, or August options, and basically that can give you a bottom only 3 cents below where we're at, and at 27 cents upward movement to sell some more. If when we got that, then we think they definitely should be selling.
Yeah, so you give them some time to make
some
the decisions.
Some time and yet put a bottom in, yes.
Right. How about for soybeans? What do you think there?
The soybeans, oh boy, that's a tricky question. I think that the soybeans are so tight. We're seeing, as far as old crop beans, I think we're hearing 40 over at Incabraza. And that way, I think $10 cash is going to move the beans. And, you know, we're not that far away. 950 plus 40 is 990. So I think beans will start to move out of the farmer's hands another dime higher.
Anything on the world front that you've been watching, whether that's the wheat crop around the northern hemisphere, things that have been happening in Greece, they're still dealing with that country, and they seem to be maybe just kicking things down the road a bit again. What fears do you have?
Well, I think the big fear is, you know, when they get their big payments due, and when it comes due, what is the European community going to do? Are they going to just kick it down on Greece, or are we going to actually see something happen? And I guess the question is, what really does happen if we do see that? Will the dollar strengthen a lot more, or is it going to already be in the market? But it's a problem that's not going to go away. And just the currency wars as it is just a big thing. It's terrible when we're watching the dollar closer than we're watching the weather during the weather market time of the futures here.
Anything on the livestock side we should be watching for the day?
You know, I think that we're looking at some pretty tight numbers as far as we're going. The Packers are in the red here, so I look for the Packers to drop the bids here a little bit in the next few weeks. But we're hearing that the usage at the retail level, that the beef is continuing to sell at these higher levels. So it looks like it's going to hold pretty good through the summer.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday, the 9th day of June. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Don't forget that tomorrow at 11 o'clock, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the June World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. On our website, we'll make sure that my Twitter account is there, and you can find all of the details about those numbers as quickly as I can post them to the website and the Twitter account. I'm at Commodity Week if you happen to follow Twitter. That's at Commodity Week. Otherwise, don't worry. You can just come to willag.org, WILLAG.org, and right 11 o'clock you begin to see those numbers appear on WILLAG.org. Now, speaking of the United States Department of Agriculture, NAS, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, yesterday afternoon released the weekly crop progress reports. As of the 7th day of June, that was Sunday, it shows that 91% of the corn in the 18 reporting states had been planted. That's compared to the rolling five-year average of 90%. 61% of that crop is said to be in good condition, 13% excellent. The previous week, 62 and 12, and last year at this time, those numbers were 60 and 15. Soybeans around the United States are sown at the rate of 79% now. The rolling five-year average is 81, as we've talked about it several times over the last several days and maybe a couple of weeks. Kansas is behind. It is now at 31% planted. It normally, on the rolling five-year average, is at 76%. Missouri is the laggard as well. Missouri sitting at 30% planted, normally at 69%. A couple of the reporting districts in Iowa are behind, and you'll hear about those when we hear from the state statistician from that state here in just a moment. 64% of the soybean crop has emerged, and the normal is 63% on the rolling five-year average, 58% of the crop is in good condition, 11% in excellent condition. Last year, those numbers were 62 and 12. 91% of the winter wheat crop is now headed. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 84%, and it's said to be in 37% fair, 35% good, and 8% excellent condition. Those numbers aren't as far off as you might think, as the previous week was 36, 36 and 8, and last year, 26, 25 and 5. Respectively. Now, here are the state statisticians.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report. Warmer temperatures and plenty of sunshine improved field conditions in Iowa this week. Farmers were able to continue planting while finally getting into previously wet fields to apply herbicide and side dress nitrogen. Statewide, there were 4.3 days suitable for field work, allowing farmers to harvest almost a third of the first cutting of alfalfa hay. Reports out of western Iowa stated that grain movement is fairly strong, and many farmers are hauling out their old crop. The reporting week began with dry and unseasonably cool weather, with overnight low temperatures mostly in the 40s and lower 50s on Monday and Tuesday. Heat and humidity gradually increased over the remainder of the week. Nearly all of the week's rain fell Saturday into Sunday. 1 to 2 inches of rain fell, with the heaviest thunderstorms across central and northern Iowa. With these weekend rains, the statewide average precipitation was 0.72 inches, while normal for the week is 1.17 inches. Topsoil moisture levels decreased to 97% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels increased to 95% adequate to surplus. 96% of the corn crop has emerged, 4 days ahead of the five-year average. 82% of the corn crop was rated good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 88% complete, 9 days behind 2014, and 1 day behind average. Southwest and south-central Iowa continue to lag behind in the planting of their expected soybean acreage, with only 51 and 65% of their soybean crop in the ground, respectively. Soybean emergence reached 71%, 4 days behind last year. The first soybean condition rating of the season came in at 0% very poor, 2% poor, 18% fair, 67% good, and 13% excellent. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was slightly cooler than normal and drier than average until heavy rains came on Sunday night for central and southern Illinois. Topsoil moisture supplies increased and are now rated 2% short, 72% adequate, and 26% surplus. Subsoil moisture is rated 6% short, 81% adequate, and 13% surplus. Southern parts of the prairie state continue to be wetter than central and northern areas. Corn acres that have emerged have now reached 96%, steady with 1 year ago, and 2 points ahead of the 5-year average. The condition of the crop is now rated 1% very poor, 2% poor, 19% fair, 58% good, and 20% excellent. Soybean planting advanced 6 percentage points to 88% complete, compared with 91% last year and 83% normally. 77% of soybean acres have emerged, the same as 1 year ago, and 9 points ahead of the 5-year average. The condition of the soybean crop is now 1% very poor, 2% poor, 23% fair, 61% good, and 13% excellent. The condition of the wheat crop is reported as 2% very poor, 9% poor, 34% fair, 48% good, and 7% excellent. In other crops, 68% of sorghum acres are planted, 64% of oats acres have headed, 66% of the first cutting of alfalfa hay is complete, and 58% of other hay has been cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Rain and wet field conditions slowed alfalfa hay harvest and crop spraying during the week. With most of Minnesota's corn crop emerged, corn condition rated 73% good to excellent. That's up 3 percentage points from last week. Soybean planting was 97% complete. 88% of the soybean acreage had emerged, that's 13 days ahead of the previous year and 11 days ahead of the 5-year average. The first soybean condition rating of the year was estimated at 0% very poor, 2% poor, 25% fair, 67% good, and 6% excellent. About 3/4 of all small grain acreage was at or beyond the jointing stage, almost 3 weeks ahead of normal. Spring wheat condition rated 73% good to excellent. 90% of the sunflower acreage was planted, that's 18 days ahead of last year and 7 days ahead of average. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Cool weather and spotty rains throughout the week slowed crop growth. Average temperatures ranged from 59 to 69 degrees and from 8 degrees to 4 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 1.28 inches, with a statewide average of 0.19 inches. Winter wheat headed was 92% complete this week, compared to 92% last year and 95% 5-year average. Corn emerged was 93% complete, compared to 92% last year and 87% 5-year average. Soybeans emerged was 70% complete, compared to 73% last year and 67% 5-year average. Farmers were finishing up the spring planting season with the remaining soybeans, cucumbers, and tomato transplants. In northern and central Indiana, some corn and soybean plants turned yellow due to the soaked fields and poor spring planting conditions. Previously ponded areas dried enough to replant. Cool and cloudy conditions delayed hay cuttings but did not affect growth. Other activities for the week included spraying fields, side dressing corn and wheat, hauling grain, and mowing roadsides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 7th, 2015. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota for their updates of weekly growing conditions during the growing season. You can hear them each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report, also online at WILLAG.org. Each and every Tuesday, we take a look at the agricultural energy market. Stephen Platt is here. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Steve, thanks for taking the time with us. Earlier in this month, actually at the very tail end of May, U.S. EPA made an RFS proposal. I'm wondering whether you've taken a look at it and analyzed it very much.
Well, certainly they did have some impact here in terms of what we're looking for in terms of the ethanol usage rates going forward. The EPA definitely pulled back on some of the requirements that we were looking at going forward. And that, I think, is going to be a constraining influence on the usage of corn going into ethanol, particularly if some efficiencies do transpire in terms of the amount of corn going into ethanol on a per bushel basis necessary to make a gallon of ethanol. I think what we saw, though, a lot of emphasis on biodiesel, certainly that is where the room for expansion is and probably where people should be focusing their efforts in terms of expansion.
Your expectations that biodiesel and vegetable oil crushing facilities will have to ramp up fairly quickly?
I think they'll ramp up. How quickly, you know, and what kind of capacity we have, but you will see the emphasis being placed on biodiesel.
Turn your attention to OPEC. What kind of decisions have they made, and what impact is it
having?
Well,
we saw OPEC basically take a no-decision kind of policy, keeping their target quota of 30 million barrels unchanged. That says a lot in terms of OPEC not really wanting to really go against the Saudis, who are intent upon maintaining their market share and production levels. Right now, OPEC is producing over 31.5 million barrels. That's going to be too much as we move into the fall. I think we're still looking at a surplus situation, but one which is going to be moderated as we move into 2016 by the decline rates that we're starting to see for existing wells. I think it would be interesting for some of your subscribers to basically look at maybe the EIA website. They did come out with a drilling productivity report, which does suggest that the production levels for both crude and nat gas from tight oil resources is starting to peak out.
Okay, EIA, of course, stands for Energy Information Agency. It's a U.S. government agency. About 25 seconds left. Anything on the world economy that we need to be aware of?
Well, certainly the Chinese are suspects still. Their import levels were down sharply here, and that was one factor for the market breaking yesterday. Some people think it will necessitate further stimulus. I think that's going to be a long shot, given how much stimulus we've given to the world economy already.
Hey, thanks so much, and we do appreciate you being with us. Of course, that's Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1768, Samuel Slater was born. An English-American mechanical engineer, Slater is credited with founding the American cotton textile industry. He established the first successful cotton mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. In 1822, Peter Henderson was born. A Scottish-American scientist, he is known as the father of American horticulture. He published Gardening for Profit, the first American book devoted entirely to market gardening. Henderson practiced what he wrote. He began a seed business in 1865. In 1900, Fred Waring was born. He provided financial development for improving the electric blender. Waring wanted a machine that could puree raw vegetables for the ulcer diet his doctors prescribed. The Waring blender, originally called the Miracle Mixer, debuted in 1937 and sold for $29.75. By 1954, 1 million Waring blenders had been sold. In 1902, Frank Hardart and Joe Horn opened the first automat at 818 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. It was a combination of fast food vending machines and a cafeteria. The opening is generally considered the birth date of the modern fast food chain. And in 1953, John H. Kraft received a patent for the manufacture of soft surface curd cheese. The patent had a provision discussing how the mold pad could be readily removed from the cheese surface. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming each and every business day, not long after it airs on our radio stations. In fact, tomorrow is a USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report Day at 11 o'clock. Come to WILLAG.org and we'll have an updated list of the numbers as they're released right at 11 o'clock with the new and old crop supplies for corn, soybeans, and production, of course, for wheat. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here with an update of the weather forecast. Tell me about the Midwest and the growing regions across the Corn Belt first.
Well, we are going to be looking at some rain from the northern and northwest Corn Belt, especially Iowa, Nebraska, far southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, and those areas, stretching east into Michigan. Now, the southern and central areas of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, not going to see much. Now, far northern Illinois, northern Indiana, could be looking at a half inch to an inch of rain with this next system moving in this week.
All right. And then if you look further ahead, do we see more rainfall again?
Well, we do. We're going to see a very active June in terms of systems coming through, especially in the western Corn Belt areas. I think the southern and eastern areas of the Corn Belt probably going to be a little bit drier, but Todd, it still looks like a pattern that we talked about last week where temperatures warmer, summer-like conditions, no real big deviations, though, from normal. So it continues to look to be a very favorable pattern heading into the first half of the growing season.
Now, for the hard red winter wheat growing regions, what do you see?
Well, those areas are going to see, first of all, in the southern part of the red winter wheat areas, they're going to see a pattern that's going to favor off and on chances for rain, maybe not as much as they've seen here lately. But nonetheless, some pretty good chances. It's dried out a little bit in some of the southern plains, but I see some rain returning here in the next week or so. You go further north into the Dakotas, looks like average precipitation in those areas.
Hey, Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Checking out a couple of other regions across the planet in Kiev, where they would be raising winter wheat. Then they're in just about the same part of the growing season that we are here in the United States. They're mostly clear for the whole of this week with highs in the upper 70s, their lows in the low 50s. In Jilin, China, that would be in the northeastern or corn growing regions of that nation. They've got some rainfall during the day on the 10th of June, just a high of 77 degrees and a 40% chance of light rain. They'll clear out on the 11th with an 80% chance of scattered showers under sunny skies, mostly up to 86. And on Friday of this week in Jilin, a 60% chance of light rain, just 66 degrees for their high. They'll go into the mid-50s for their lows during this week, so it shouldn't be too bad for corn growing conditions. Here in the state of Illinois, we're making our way through 87 degrees this afternoon on a west wind and dropping to 66 tonight. We should see southwest winds at 6 to 9, a 30% chance of rainfall tomorrow. That'll come more mainly after 1 in the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. A high tomorrow of 91 in the Urbana-Champaign area. Don't forget at 11 o'clock to check our website for the latest numbers from the USDA WASDE at willag.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.